everybody. Welcome back to The Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
This is episode number 206. Aaron, we've had another week of Sharks hockey with no wins. I cannot say that I'm not surprised. I can't say I didn't see this coming. And remember, the one game we'll talk about later on was the Chicago game that we thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity there. But I had said, you know, I feel like the Sharks are going to win Celebrini Bowl Part 3.
There was definitely a chance there.
When I say win, of course.
Right.
I mean,
yes. They did get a point.
They did.
Sadly.
Ultimately, it swings things still a little bit in our favor, even if we do pull a point out of it, because Chicago gained 2. So, again, a minus 1. And we'll talk a little bit more about that plus-minus stat for goal differential in a little bit down the road here. But Nick's got a comment here. Oh, if he just took it away. What was the comment there, Super Jason? Thank you. I'm back from Columbus/Chicago trip. I helped ensure we didn't pick up 2 points. Hey, thank you so much, Nick. You're doing God's work out there.
Doing his part. In a Sharks jersey.
Yeah, he wore the Sharks Cali fin. We showed this last episode.
How much sympathy did you get from other fans from both those places? I'm just curious if anyone was mean or if they saw the giant man that was Nick and said, I'm going to be quiet on this one.
I think you piped down with the big man in the house there. But hey, do not pipe down when it comes to sharing out this video, this podcast, this stream. What? They can be watching it later on.
That's good.
The things, right? Okay, make sure that you're not silent here. We need you guys to help us out. Can you please give us a share to all of your Sharks friends and family? Repost, everything would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Guess who's here?
Who's here?
It says, hello, been a while. Zinxie.
I was just about to say Zinxie. Hey, what's up, Zinxie? I have to say, I like the avatar there. He's got a little Eklund 72 going on.
Oh, yeah. That's
not bad at all. Good choice, Zinxie. Hey, man, good to see you there. Appreciate that. And, of course, Nick says nobody bothered him.
Of course.
And no one would bother you.
Why would they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He is the mountain, as we said last time. So you don't poke the mountain. In any case, yes, if you can go ahead and share this out to your Sharks friends and family, get them in here so that we can be talking with them as well. It's a lot more fun. We've got a lot of people going. The chat's rolling, and it helps Aaron lose his mind because he can't read things when they're scrolling too fast. So it's always fun for me on this.
Reading is hard.
Reading is cool.
Oh, right.
Reading is also hard.
Yes, that's reading is cool.
Anyway, I appreciate you guys pulling some more people in here. There's that. Also, if you'd like, you can support the show in numerous ways. One, the Super Chat function, of course, and you can also use Venmo at The Fin Factor. Either one of those, you put a comment in there, and we will throw confetti down on the screen for you, just like Super Deuce is doing right now, and we will read that comment out on the air live. You can also go to thefinfactor.com and check out any of the merch we have for sale. That is a great way to support the show if you like hats, shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, beanies. I don't know if we have beanies, actually. Do we have beanies?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we do. He thinks we do. I'm not sure. You can check and find for yourself if we do or don't. I suggest you go there and see if I'm lying. Every once in a while, I'm going to throw something out there that they don't know. If I'm wristwatch bands, we sell those. Do we? I don't know.
Toasters?
It's a mystery. Toasters. Once again, we do not sell the toaster. We sell the sticker on the toaster.
Then what's
Ben and Gunsy? it's got our branding on it. Ben and Gunsy says, "Alrighty, time to witness the finesse on how Paul and Aaron turn our miserable team into an entertaining, fun time." Oh, Ben, you know me so well, Ben. I'm telling you, you need to stick around because I heard some stuff. We'll just say stuff. I'm family-friendly show. Okay, heard some stuff on another podcast. Which I don't normally listen to other podcasts, by the way, but this one got brought up to us through one of our favorite publications, San Jose Hockey Now, and the great Shang Peng brought this one up, so I had to go check it out, and was not very pleased with what I heard, so please stick around. I will dissect that and rage quit. And then, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to pop in, or we have some other comments, maybe? You want to let the people know what they're saying here?
No, just here we go.
Let's jump straight in. Okay, so the Sharks... In Nashville, this one, the Sharks were actually up 2-1 at one point in this game. And just like typical Sharks fashion for this season, we take whatever hope that we have, that shiny little egg, and we just smash it repeatedly on the table. And we lose 8-2 in this game. What do you have to say about this game, Aaron?
It was brutal. It's another Sharks game where they're not playing a full 60 minutes. And... the game just gets away from them real quick and giving up goals in bunches and just not being able to recover. Part of it is talent, not having the talent to outscore any kind of team, especially in an 8-2 game, but that's a little bit different. But They can't score their way out, and once their hard work disappears and start, you know, snowballing mistakes, it just, this is what happens. 8-2. Not 3-2, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7, 8.
Keep
to
going.
2. 8-2. They really are going for that record-breaking goal differential.
Super Dish Jason's grabbing the bell. There you go. Okay. So, you know what? You have a stat up on the screen there. 33% in the face-off dot.
Yeah. That's...
That has got to be a season low, I would think. I don't recall the Sharks being that bad in the face-off dot for an entire game.
No. I mean, even with Al Couture, who's one of their better face-off people, Hurdle was a good face-off person. Sturm and, who is it? Granlund are the other two. Their face-off percentage was garbage. Like, Granlund was 23.1, which is just hurting, and Sturm was 37.5. Now, Sturm is known for his face-off ability, so that's a weak point, just a really bad game. Again, they can't be on every night.
Sure.
Just an off night, but when you have your centerman having an off night, it's more noticeable, especially in the face-off circle. Nobody was over 50%.
Yeah, but just Bordeleau and Carpenter looks like they were at 50%. Yep. It probably took two draws.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Anyway, it was just, it's an interesting stat that I saw there. And usually, obviously, when you win the faceoff, you start off with the puck. So that is a great way to help you in your quest to score more goals. And certainly Nashville taking full advantage of starting off with the puck more often than not. So, an 8-2 loss, really not a whole lot to say there other than I told you so, I guess. I mean, we knew that this is what the Sharks were going to do. They were going to come out strong like they usually do. Maybe they get outshot usually, but they come out strong, right? And even for a lack of talent, the effort level is still usually there, and then they collapse. And that's exactly what happened in this game. They were in it until they weren't, which is a phrase that we've said several times in the past few weeks, at least on this show, and they just absolutely collapsed. And now the Tampa Bay game, I don't recall where the one came. If we scored first or not. But this is a 4-1 loss.
We tied it. Yeah.
So it was 1-0. We tied 1-1, and then they just ran away in the third period with three straight goals. And I think those first two goals came in the first period. So the second period, actually kind of even hockey, it sounds like.
It was a decent game. It was, they were in it, and then they weren't, just like you just said, right? They are who we said they were. We are who they thought we were. Braden Point just 34 seconds into the third period. That's... ends the tiebreaker, and then Duclair puts another one in, you know, 6 minutes later, and then another, 8 minutes later, Braden Point scores yet again the dagger. So, I wasn't expecting the Sharks to win this game, but to be able to hang with Tampa Bay would be more of a morale booster, I guess, to the team. So, good job for hanging with them for 40 minutes, but not for 60.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we had said last show was you're expecting them to get killed in this game, the Tampa Bay game. Mm-hmm. And of the three games, this was probably their best effort, I would say, you know. So all in all, not totally bad losing to the mighty Tampa Bay Lightnings by a score of 4-1.
That kind of carries over from Nashville. You're getting your butt wiped in that game, and then you come in and the coach is probably just screaming at him, right?
I think whooped. You get your butt whooped.
Whatever, whooped.
I don't know about wiped.
Wiped on the ice?
Yeah, we're good. Go ahead. Continue.
Just wrecked, right? So then the next game you're going to come out and you're going to have a much better effort than you did in that game, which they did for 40 minutes and 30 seconds. But the rest of that third period, no. So, they have a long ways to go. There's still a lot of guys on this team that will not be here next year. A lot of guys that are even young guys that might lose their job to an up-and-coming younger guy.
I bet.
So there's going to be more competition next year. Who knows? Maybe veterans coming in, like UFAs coming in. So this team's going to look very different next season, and they need to put it together. Now, Eklund, I think, in this game, was this the game he was dropped to the fourth line to start the game?
Yes. He also scored the goal, did he not?
He did. Right. I mean, message sent. And received, right?
But answered.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But I like the fact that he did put a goal in and he answered that. Oh, tied the okay. Game so up you think too. I'm a fourth liner?
Yeah.
Let's go. So I don't know. I like Eklund's response to that. And it's maybe, you know, you could look at it a couple different ways. You know, maybe, you know, that he's got something to prove and he's, you know, he stepped it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm happy with Eklund all through the season. He's been the shining star for me on this team. We've talked about this before. And I think Eklund has been fantastic, much better than I thought he was going to be when they initially drafted him, because he did kind of fall down the Sharks at 7, I believe.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, why is he falling, though? You know, what's wrong with this guy? You know?
I was excited because I'm like, after he got to like 4th, 5th, 6th, yeah. I'm like, no way. This is, okay, what's wrong? What? Is he broken? Why does nobody
exactly.
want this guy?
Exactly. Yeah. You start to question it. You start to wonder, like, why is this guy
I think it tumbling? Was more of a positional need for the other teams, so they kind of passed over him.
Yeah,
I think there was some defensemen that were picked ahead of him. That's part of it.
Well, in any case...
You're going to pull that up, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Aaron's going to pull up who was drafted right around.
Ahead of him.
Go ahead.
So it was Owen Powers first overall.
Yeah.
Then Matty Beniers, Mason McTavish, Luke Hughes, understandable. Kent Johnson, who has done pretty well for a very bad Columbus team. And then Detroit's pick of Simon Edvinson was kind of a head-scratcher. He hasn't really played many games yet, but again, a defenseman.
Yeah.
So, what is that? 3 defensemen ahead of him. The first one was first overall pick. Right. But, yeah, dropped him down to 7th. I think Detroit should have picked him there. But yeah.
Of the 6 guys before him, either center or defense. Mm-hmm. So, and him being a left winger, he plays center, though. That's
right.
The funny thing.
Yeah.
So they took all guys that are not wingers, just centers or defensemen. So you're probably right. They had a positional need. But it's crazy to me that a guy like Eklund, who can play center, just because he's listed as a left winger doesn't necessarily mean that's all he can do. So, yeah, maybe a bit of a miss by those previous teams there. I mean, obviously, Matty Beniers, you're not going to pick him over, right?
I can't really say there's a miss other than maybe Edvinson, but he just hasn't played enough yet. So.
Sure.
But McTavish is going to be a fantastic player for Anaheim, and that was a 3rd overall pick, so pretty decent 3rd overall.
McTavish got traded, though.
No, McTavish didn't.
He didn't?
No.
Who was it?
You're thinking of... the guy from Philly went to Anaheim.
Yes.
McTavish did. Well,
okay.
No,
never mind. Okay. Cutter Gauthier.
Yes.
But didn't McTavish go the other way?
No, his defenseman went the other way. I'm blanking on who it was.
In any case, this is not an Anaheim show, so we'll continue talking about the Sharks.
I need to know.
Now he needs to know. And I'm sorry that I brought this up, because now he's going to type away. But we'll finish with the Tampa Bay game here just by saying... again, we weren't expecting...
Drysdale.
Thank you, Jamie Drysdale.
You're welcome.
We were not expecting this to go the Sharks' way in the first place. And the fact that they were hanging with them through 2 actually made me nervous. Nervous that we were going to pick up a point or 2. Well, really, thank you, Nick. See, Jamie puts it down there. Nervous that we would have picked up a point or 2 against a very good team that we have no business picking up points against. So good on them with the effort that they put out, and good on them for ultimately losing the game in regulation against this team. There you go. Now we move on to the Chicago game, which is actually the game that I was able to go to. I should have brought the cricket jersey. I did not.
Is it cool?
It is actually very cool.
I mean, I only saw the renderings. I didn't get to see the actual jersey, so I was hoping that you would bring it.
The actual
jersey...
Can you
go get it right now?
No, I can't, man. The actual jersey is... very, very similar, actually, to the render. It's not it's sort of similar. No, it's pretty much bang on.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. We really do like it. My son got one, threw it on during the game, and he was rocking it the whole way through. He actually, on the glass, had a little sign, said, I'll trade for a puck or a stick, and he had some M&Ms taped to the thing.
Anyone?
Nobody wanted M&Ms.
Wow.
So...
Skittles?
So you guys know, you bring your kids and you try that, don't bring M&Ms. Nobody likes M&Ms, okay? Maybe next season when
Skittles,
we got some other guys.
Starburst?
We'll have to try something else. I don't know. I'm thinking Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, that'd be good.
People don't use the term, but no. Anyway. So, at this game, it's a lot of fun. We're scoring left and right, and I'm starting to panic. Because we're up 4-0, Aaron. We're up 4-0. And I'm going, you know what? We lost 2 of the games already in a
little
row.
Faith.
We lost 2 of the game. I know. I was just panicking already. We lost 2 of the games, right, in Celebrini Bowl. And the third game, you know, even if we win this one, in the grand scheme, we've come out ahead with Chicago in terms of being in last place, right? So I'm kind of just accepting it, right? This is just what it has to be. And then the Hawks score, and I'm gone. It's not going to matter.
Snowball.
It's not going to matter, dude. That's only 1. They got to come back and get 4. There's no way. They score again. I'm going, oh, okay, it's coming, it's coming. Then they score again. I'm going, yep, we're collapsing. It's happening. I'm just waiting.
Right before
waiting
your
for
eyes.
That fourth goal. And of
you're
course,
witnessing it.
They bury the fourth one, and we go into overtime, and it's immediately they lose the game. And it was just
18 seconds in.
It was 18 seconds? Again.
A quick death. I'd rather have a quick death than 4:59 into the overtime period.
They just immediately collapsed. Like, the puck dropped, and then they scored. And I feel bad, not because I wanted them to lose this game, okay? But because Devin Cooley was in net.
Yep.
With a 4-0 lead, and the Sharks couldn't hold it for this kid.
Yep.
That's the one thing that I feel bad about with losing this game, is that he played so well for the vast majority of the game, and then I don't know if I really even put it on him. You know, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at it again to see how the goals are scored again. Because, again, when you're sitting in the seats, you basically get one look at it live. They don't really do the replays for goals against, especially on the center hung. We don't want to call it Jumbotron. Center hung.
Wait, what?
The center hung. The monitor. You don't call it the Jumbotron.
Why?
Because it's like saying Band-Aid or Zamboni. It's an adhesive bandage. The Band-Aid is the brand. I think... what do you call it? Jumbotron was the brand. And they called it, you don't call it Jumbotron, you call it the center hung. You don't remember this?
No.
When we interviewed? Oh my yeah, goodness.
No.
So it's supposed to be called the center hung because that's what it is.
The Jumbotron. Okay.
The Jumbotron.
The big Jumbotron.
The big Jumbotron. Not the small one.
Not the little
big
one.
The big Jumbotron. The Jumbo one.
Yeah.
The Jumbotron.
The Jumbo Jumbotron.
Right. Yeah.
That's center hung.
The large monitor thing that's hung up in the center of the arena, that thing. They don't usually show the goals against in replay, so I didn't get to see how everything.
Oh, I thought they always show one replay.
They usually don't. I mean,
one angle and that was it.
You have to also remember, I'm sitting there with my son, and we have popcorn and things like that. So
yeah,
you
probably just missed it.
Yeah, kind of not
eating the popcorn.
All the time. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it not being able to see it on TV and rewind it and look at it and dissect it and all that kind of thing. So I can't really tell if it was on Cooley, but I have to say that given the Sharks' track record of coming out strong and then collapsing, I think it's safe to say that a 4-0 lead that gets blown and they lose it 5-4 in OT, it's probably the team collapsing again.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't put this on Cooley just by the historical nature of how the Sharks have played so far this season, but I do feel bad for the kid. I'm sure that because he had family there and everything, it was you know, it's the first home game he's playing for the San Jose Sharks
against the lowest team in the standings that you could probably get a win against.
Nobody else that they have the best odds of beating that team, and they were up 4-0 and they still couldn't get it done. So I felt bad for Devin Cooley in this game, but ultimately I'm happy because the Sharks only picked up 1 point and they gave the Blackhawks 2 points. So still, even though we picked up one, we're getting ahead of them.
What if Chicago wins the lottery?
Yeah,
because they're second overall.
Shut your
mouth.
And
if the Sharks had won and jumped them and then they were second overall and then they would have won it. We're going to go back to this game and remember that.
Anyway, so I was happy. I was happy that the Sharks fell behind a little bit more from Chicago, a little bit more distance. I was happy with that. But you know, in a strange way, again, I kind of would have liked to see them pick up a win in this game. Even though I had said, I think we've proven last week. I said, I think we've proven we can't beat Chicago, and even with a 4-goal lead, we can't beat Chicago. And really, Bedard didn't even have much to do with it.
No.
Really? I mean, he didn't look at the stat sheet. He didn't really even show up. I mean, he had an assist. I think he had an assist in this game. I don't even remember. But
one assist, plus two.
There you go.
In 22 minutes of ice time.
If there's one thing the Sharks have been good at with regard to the Blackhawks, other than losing, it is locking up Connor Bedard. They've done a pretty decent job with that. Peter St. John says, totally agree, Paul. Anytime, by the way, you say totally agree, Paul, I'll probably read it. Our consistency defensively, particularly from our forwards, is inconsistent, which exposes the defenseman. The consistency defensively is inconsistent, exposing defensemen. I love that comment. It's great.
Can you say it again?
Yeah, I can't. Which exposes the goalie. There you go. Yeah. So for a young guy like Devin Cooley, getting a few games of NHL experience, don't you put that evil on us, Ron. Thank you, Nick, for that. That's fantastic. So In any case, I don't know anything else you wanted to say about the Blackhawks game here, but...
Yeah. It's just... That's the Sharks season in a shell right there. Up 4-0 and losing 5-4 in overtime. That's not the first time that's happened either.
No.
So, yeah, it's just unbelievably bad. I was just laughing, just watching destruction of this team. It's sad, but at this point, I just have to laugh. Like, I just can't get mad anymore. It's just like, I don't want to say it's expected, but it's also not surprising. How about that?
I would say it's expected, honestly, because again, we called it. We said this is what's going to happen all throughout this week. Now, you are confident, maybe, or you were confident 2 weeks ago, that they were going to get to 20 wins.
No, after this
week. Not after this week, buddy. So, again, if we're not confident that they're going to get to 20 wins, and this was 2 weeks ago, that they still haven't gotten a win.
Oh, I mean, man.
Yeah, it's expected.
If they picked up a win last week and won this week, then I would be absolutely confident because they'd be at 18 wins. But
it's expected that they're going to lose.
I'll still hold out a little bit of hope in case we see Will Smith sign.
Yeah.
After NCAA is done, and he jumps for, 10 games, 9 games.
Sure.
And Quentin Musty. If they can give just a small injection and Blackwood's healthier, because I think he played, but I don't think he's quite ready. I think there's still a chance that they could pull out 4 wins in those games. But I don't want them to. At this point, no. Because Chicago's still so close to them. It's only 5 points in the standings. That could swing really quick if the Sharks pull off 4 wins. So, I'm going to say no. No, but I would like to see those guys play.
I'm going to pull out 2 positives from this game. Okay? 2 positives. And it's not that the Sharks were able to score 4 goals, because they're the second worst team in the league. Worst team in the league other than us. Okay, so that's not the positive.
They have good popcorn.
They have great popcorn, by the way.
That's one.
Just so you're aware. It makes you forget about the center hung.
Full of butter.
It makes you forget about what's on the center hung.
It's not real butter.
What's the center hung? Yeah. I don't know what that is.
He's eating popcorn.
I'm telling you, talk to John Becker. He'll say it's called the center hung. Anyway.
It's because they legally can't say it.
2 positives. Wait,
we have a Jumbotron.
We do have a Jumbotron.
We do, That's not really jumbo. It's like a medium-tron.
It's bigger than my computer screen.
It's bigger than the computer screen. Okay, anyway, 2 positives. Bortolo, 2 goals. Zetterlund, 2 goals.
And assist. And 3.9.
20 goals, which is what we were saying. He's going to hit 20. We're aiming for 25 still, are we not?
I think he can
25 goals and 40 points, I think, is what we agreed to last show.
He's got 12 games to get 5 more goals.
He got 2 of them in this game alone. I think we're on pace here. I think we're on track.
I think he could do it.
Yeah. So we're looking for that one. Keep your eyes peeled for Zetterlund getting to 25 goals, 40 points. How many points does he have on the season right now, though? He's got 20
35.
Goals. 35. 35. So if he scores nothing but goals.
He's at 40 points.
We're there. Okay. Yeah. Okay, be selfish, Fabs. Okay?
Granlund also is at 46 points. He'll get to 50 before the season's over.
Yeah. I think that was supposed to be an eagle.
Thanks, squirrel.
There are like 12 giraffe. Games left, so if Granlund is at his pace, I think he'll get about 6 to 8 more points by the end of the season. He'll be close to 60. He'll be pushing 60 points. That's for a terrible team, and he's missed some games.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That's most consistent Shark, I think.
Okay, I'll agree with you. Looks like... the Sharks, again, when you take a look at the goal differential on the week, right, 8-2, 4-1, 5-4, only 1 goal there. But when we look at last week, we were talking about the Sharks' goal differential. It was like a minus 122. Now we're up to what, minus 130?
Yes.
That is...
historic.
That's a lot of goals.
That's what it is.
That's a lot of goals against.
It's... at minus 130, that puts him...
That doesn't add up. Hold on a second. It was... So 6, 3, and 1. That's 10. So it should be 132. That's 10 goals difference.
Okay. You're at 132 then? I was looking at... I pulled it from the standings.
Well...
The NHL standings are
They say 130. All right, so it's 130 or 132 somewhere. Regardless, it went lower. And that's the point. So the Sharks still getting closer and closer, as we had predicted, to that minus 150 mark. Are we still, you think we're still going to get there?
Ooh, minus 150?
Yeah.
On this pace, yeah. After this week, yeah. Yeah, that's brutal, man.
So we have a few things that we're looking at then. We're looking at Zetterlin for 25 goals, 40 points. We're looking at the Sharks to not hit, right? 20 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have lots of things that are on the watch list right now. And we're looking at the Sharks ending the season with a minus 150 goal differential.
Those, I mean, 150, the 91-92 inaugural season was 140. I think they're going to beat that.
Guys, I think we can do it. Okay, you just have to believe.
Granted, that was in 80 games. They had two less games, so... This team has two more games to beat them.
Yeah.
The 92-93, the following season, was even worse for the Sharks at a 196. We won't get there. I hope not.
Never say never.
In 12 games. Oh, that would be double-digit blowouts in a dozen games there. So, yeah, they're going to fall somewhere in that top 10 worst goals differential in NHL history.
So, let's go from... Debbie Downer, if you will, to looking at maybe a little more of the positives.
Debbie takes personal offense to that.
That is true. I'm so sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie had a good chat.
Yeah?
Had a good chat? Oh.
Yeah.
Fire away.
All right. He's going to pull it up.
Oh, he's going to pull it up. Okay, here. Okay, I offer cookies for a 3-game losing streak. What treat do you guys want at the end of this tragic season? Oh, my goodness.
Someone suggested snickerdoodles.
I mean... I'll take any cookie.
I'm sure you can message us later on after the show, maybe Debbie and Aaron, I'm sure we'll get back to you on his preferences. So there you go.
Sure.
But thank you. I appreciate the offer, Debbie. And in a season that is this bad, certainly we could use a little bit of sweetness, if you will, a little sugar. So
how about we hold puppies for an hour?
Oh, holding puppies would be great.
Cover the table in puppies.
Yes. That'd be awesome. Hour. I would love that. Let me know if you guys would love that. I'm going to see if we can make that one happen.
Who has puppies around?
The Sharks, they have Finn and Gil or whatever else. Remember the dogs that they train the dogs for
Yeah, they already
dogs?
Got rid of them, I thought.
No, but they do a new one every year, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to bring kittens. That dog on here?
Absolutely.
Kittens?
No kittens. Kittens scratch. I don't like kittens. They claw and stuff.
All right, kittens for Paul.
Only if they have cookies. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the positives. And the positives are not even for this year. They are for next year and the years beyond. We're looking at, sorry, I'm doing my best I can here. We're looking at Sharks prospects and how they're doing this season. And so far, the Fresh Prince of Boston, if you will, he's absolutely killing it for Boston yes. College. They just got done winning the Eastern Hockey Championship. He was the MVP. Was Will Smith. Four goals and an assist in the championship game alone. Mind-boggling for me. I did not, and I will be the first to admit it, I did not think that Will Smith was going to be this good.
Yeah, I feel like he's gotten better.
Yeah.
Kind of like in the World Juniors, I was not impressed with the first couple of games, and then he slowly got better. So the more hockey he plays, the better he's getting, and especially high-level hockey. Because you think about, like, in the tournament, he was the round-robin part. He wasn't so great, but then it got to the elimination rounds, and he really stepped up. So kind of reminds me of Logan Couture in a way. He's good in the regular season, but when it gets to the postseason, he really, you know, steps it up a couple notches and is a huge performer. And if you don't believe me, go look at his stats.
Yeah.
Of his, I'm talking about Couture's postseason stats. Yeah. They're always point per game better than... Not point per game better, but better point per game average than his regular season stats. So another player like that seems to be really up to the big time challenges and steps up in a big way. So exciting player to be adding to the Sharks, hopefully, I think, to start next season.
Yeah, and you brought up World Juniors, and I was certainly not as impressed with him in World Juniors. Even in the later rounds, mm-hmm. when the games were on the line and everyone's going, oh, he had a monster game, and I'm going, looking, I don't really know that I can agree with that necessarily, but I have to say, he looked fantastic. And to get four goals, man, I mean, talk about putting the team on your back. I mean, not just put him on, he had a backpack. And just stuffed everybody in it, and he was just trudging his way up. This guy, seriously, just took the whole thing on himself, and he's playing against Celebrini as well. So for them to just cut and say, like, I know you're consensus number one, but I'm number one right now. So, yeah, no, he stomped all over him.
Yeah.
Good on him, man. That was just an amazing thing. Now, again, he's a Hobie Baker finalist. I don't know necessarily who else is in the mix. I know Celebrini is part of that. And there's a bunch of other guys that I don't necessarily need to name off because we don't even know who half these guys are anyway.
There's 10
candidates.
Let's see. Jason Blake, North Dakota. Macklin Celebrini, Boston University. Jack Devine, Denver. Cutter Gauthier, mm-hmm. Boston College. Colin Graff, I'm just going to name the names. Lane Hudson, Kyle McClellan, Liam McClinsky, Sam Morton, and Will Smith.
Yeah, so...
And he's a freshman, correct?
Yes, he's a freshman. Yeah. So, it's not like you could even say, oh, yeah, he's killing it because, you know, he's a junior or a senior, he's older and everything else, you know? Like the guys in their juniors, in the junior leagues... you could look at them and say, oh, you know, he's, you know, second year junior or whatever. He's somebody that's, you know, in his draft class, or he's 1 year past his draft class. So of course he's going to be much better than everybody else. So he's going to have a monster season, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's a freshman. I mean, he's just out there killing it. So, I'm very excited to see what he's going to do once he comes to the Sharks. There's a lot being made about Cutter Gauthier and the trade and everything else. Yeah. And we'll get to that in just a little while. I've got some words for a certain French named guy. Anyway, so I'm not happy with Mr. Pierre. Anyway,
Celebrini's 17 years old.
Yes,
playing in college, which is amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. He's gonna look great in teal. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to get my hopes up. I really don't. I'm set up for failure after so many years of being a Sharks fan. So. I'm just waiting for it to be like, oh, of course the Sharks got the third overall pick and not the first overall pick.
Shut your mouth.
So anyway, moving on, unless there's anything else you want to say about Will Smith.
No, but I got a funny comment here.
Okay, go ahead.
Debbie said, no cookies for Paul, the Debbie Downer comment.
There are other people named Debbie, just like the other people named Paul and A.A. Ron, okay? So I'm talking about other Debbies.
I don't know, I thought the same thing.
Bad Debbies, non-cookie making Debbies. Those are the ones I'm talking about. Anyway.
biting my tongue.
Quinn Musty.
Yes.
In Must We Trust. I saw this one.
In Must We Trust. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So he's having another fantastic season. Tied for fourth in the OHL with 102 points on the season so far.
He's actually leading the OHL in points per game because he's played a lot less games. Mm. So if he played the same amount of games, he'd be leading the points too.
Yeah. Go ahead. Anything else? No, there's not. What else do you want to say about him? Again, drafted in 2023, first round, 26th overall.
That's late for how good of a player this is.
Absolutely.
So I think this is kind of a steal in the draft. And I keep saying, I keep pumping up his tires because I'm excited for this kid. He probably should have been a mid first round pick, not a late first round pick. So I think the Sharks are going to be looking good. And I hope... I mean, I want him to go far in, was it the Calder Cup? But as soon as this season is over, I'm hoping it's like before the Sharks are done and he can at least get a few games in. Because he's already signed his entry-level contract, so he can play for the Sharks. He could play right now, but they're not going to pull him right now. There's no point. But once the season is over, I hope he gets a little bit of taste in teal and then goes in the summer and knows what he needs to work on and comes back with a vengeance and storms out the gate at training camp and earns a spot on this roster.
The next guy on this list of ones to look out for, leave the gun, take the Cagnoni. Luca Cagnoni. I think it's Cagnoni, right? It seems like a very Italian name.
Sure.
Is it Cagnoni?
Sure, Mr. Sinceri.
Go with Cagnoni. That's what I'm going with. I like that. Leave the gun, take the Cagnoni. Anybody who doesn't understand that reference, you go watch The Godfather. Anyway,
I don't
leads WHL defenseman with 87
it's
points.
It's actually already incorrect
because
I wrote this a couple of days ago.
Okay.
He's up to 90 points now, so he's the most by a defenseman since, I think, 20 years? Or might have been more. Might be since the early 90s. So things have already changed since the notes I put down last week.
A fantastic prospect on the blue line.
Another late pick, fourth round pick that went by. I remember, wasn't this one of the ones that that Graham was like, wow, that guy should have gone earlier, and I'm really glad the Sharks got him.
I have to go back and see if he said that.
Yeah. I think that was one of the ones that he was hoping, like going into that pick, the Sharks would take him because he felt like he was falling too far.
Gotcha.
And so I think that, just like Dan Boyle, put a little chip on his shoulder and wanted to do well, and he's doing very well.
Yeah, you know, again, good on him having the season that he's having. And it's, if we take a look at some of the blue line prospects that the Sharks have, you know, Mook Madolin, was the Jack, the guy that we just traded for, Lightning, I cannot, Thompson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Thompson is another guy. You've got, you know, some of the ones that have been playing, like, you know, Kalen Addison, who's played in the NHL, yes, but he's still very, very young. We've got a couple of guys that were in there at 22, 23 years old or younger. And to add him to this pool now as a guy who can not just play the blue line, who can just kind of tend the blue line, is maybe like an everyday solid defenseman that you can just go out and pick somebody up. This is a guy who can score, who can pass the puck, who can move it well. Right, so for us to be able to have a guy like that in our prospect pool, it's kind of the Ryan Merkley that we never had, right? It's hopefully that's what it is.
I don't want to compare that to Ryan Merkley,
but I'm just saying that's what we wanted out of Ryan Merkley. We wanted a guy who is this offensive dynamo who's really going to shine. That you can have him, you know, work underneath Brent Burns, work underneath Erik Karlsson, learn from these guys, learn how to be a pro. Right? And it just didn't pan out with Ryan Merkley. And now we've got this guy who's leading WHL in points as a defenseman, right? I mean, that is kind of what we wanted when we drafted Merkley. And it's nice to see that we're able to get him in the fourth round, no less.
Yeah.
Right? So it's great to have him as part of that. Now, again, not to diminish the value of a defensive defenseman, but I feel like they're much easier to pick up as free agents. Somebody who's just steady on the blue line, right? Right? Maybe not the best, but certainly going to be able to hold it down, some big hits, shoving people out of the net, that kind of thing. That's all we're looking for on the defensive side. But it's so hard to find somebody who can help you offensively from the blue line and do it at the pace that he's doing it.
He's also a left-handed shot, not a right-handed shot. And I feel like they have more right-handed offensive defenseman and left-handed defensive defenseman.
Okay.
Maybe I'm thinking this too much, but when you're a defenseman and you're using one hand on your stick, it's your strong hand.
Yeah.
Which is, most people are right-handed.
Okay.
Versus a person who's offense and you're getting more slap shots, you want your right hand pushing.
So actually, the way it would go is if you're, and this is just hockey 101, Canadian school of hockey would be, if I'm right-handed, then I shoot left-handed, because that top hand is your strong hand, regardless of whether it's slap shots or whatever, because when you shoot, I'm going to do it right-handed because I can't do it left-handed. When you shoot, let's say, if I was left-handed, right, and this is my strong hand, my left hand, then I would be a right-handed shooter because I'd be holding the top. Mm-hmm. And when I shoot, I actually put my hands out and I pull back on the top, and that's part of what causes that flex of the stick. You ever see somebody taking a shot and you see the stick look like it's made out of rubber? It's just bent like that. That's because they're hitting the ice first and then they're pulling back on the top and it's causing the stick to flex. And then when that comes off the ice, that stick just whips, right? And so a higher flex rating will actually help you slam that puck on a slap shot, whereas lower flex rating will help you just kind of put your hands up, push it real fast.
So better wrist shots on a lower.
Absolutely. It'll come right off the blade of the stick with a low flex. Again, hockey 101. But with a big hard flex, like Zdeno Chara had like a 120 flex. It may not mean anything to you guys, but that's astronomically large. I think it was even larger than that. And the man was huge. Yeah. So for him to hit those shots at like 110 miles an hour or whatever it was, that's why. Because he's a gigantic human being, yes. But the flex rating on his stick, he was basically shooting with a piece of steel. I mean, he was getting it to bend.
So
when it snaps back to center, it's really cooking. So there you go. Anyway, I don't even know why we were talking about flex rating. But anyway.
Right-handed, left-handed.
Yeah, right-handed, left-handed. Yeah. So that's why he might be left-handed or right-handed. Yeah, sure.
I mean, just reading, what was it, Peter saying darts on the dartboard, boys. That's part of it, too. You have Cagnoni as a left-handed offensive defenseman, but you also have to have some other right-handed offensive defenseman. Like, sprinkle around the talent in different options, because some of those guys aren't going to pan out at the NHL level. You don't know. So the fact that they have one, though, that's left-handed and offensive, I don't think there's very many others. I think the rest are right-handed for offensive. But that gives you some more options. If you have, let's say you have a really good shutdown right-handed defenseman, you're going to want to pair him with someone who's a little bit more offensive. There you go. Or vice versa, you have a right-handed shot right-handed shot defenseman that's offensive, you're going to want to pair him with a left-handed kind of like Mario Ferraro that's a little bit more responsible on their own end, stay-at-home defenseman. So it gives them more options. So hopefully he pans out at the NHL level. I don't know if he would make the team next year. I think they'd probably want him to stay there. But at this point, why? right?
Yeah.
He can't go... I don't know what the rules for the WHL, but I know for juniors in the OHL that you need to stay until you're at least 20 before you can go play for AHL.
Okay.
So you'd have to go back to juniors. It's weird because you have to play... You could play for the NHL team. You could play for the Sharks, but you can't play for the AHL. You have to go back to your junior team.
Yeah.
Part of that's kind of like the NCAA. They want players to stick around in the NCAA before going pro so that they can, you know, get the money, right, make money off of them. So that's a whole other issue.
All right. Well, anyway, we just wanted to kind of highlight a few of those players. And again, the future looks pretty bright on all fronts, really. I mean, even with the goaltending, we talked about the goaltending last episode. Mm-hmm. And the goaltending is actually looking like it might be pretty promising. You got a guy in Mackenzie Blackwood who looks like he could be on a team that has some players that are willing to help keep the puck out of the net, at least. Could be a very solid goaltender. And maybe a bit of a impatient move by New Jersey Devils getting rid of him. I don't know what their situation was.
They have two new goalies.
Yes, they do.
They started with earlier this season.
And one of them is still from the Sharks. So
of them came to the Sharks. Vanacek.
Yes.
He's on IR, but he'll be here next season.
Yeah.
We'll have Vanacek and Blackwood, two discarded goalies from New Jersey, who I feel like, well, Vanacek's been out, but Blackwood, I think, has been playing better here than he was.
Yeah.
At least the last couple years in New Jersey, but I feel like he did not get a fair shot there, and a lot of blame wasted at him or towards him. But look at what replaced him, right?
Yeah,
not much better. So maybe it was the team and not so much the goaltending.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to both of those guys because I feel like both of them could be starters, like legit starters in this league, right? And if you've got both of them, and they both got some time on their contract left, at least 1 year. I know Vanacek has a year left. I'm pretty sure Blackwood has one, maybe two.
One,
okay.
Next season, I mean, one more.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, and Nick says Mook Madulin's left-handed as well. So, for the Sharks to have two goaltenders that are no slouches in the net, as we've seen specifically with Blackwood this season, he's been fantastic for the Sharks, a very bad Sharks team. He's still been fantastic for them. And we've got a fair amount of defensive prospects, and these offensive prospects are coming in. I think the future does look pretty bright. Now, you did have something to say about the Sharks historically drafting, some draft notes, and you wanted to go in a direction with this, so I'm just going to let you kick it off.
I was going to go through, so I went through the 33 drafts that the Sharks have been a part of. They've only drafted in the top 10 12 times.
Okay.
A lot of the times they either trade away the draft pick, but that was a late round, first round when they were good and in the playoffs all the time, they're not getting the top 10 pick. So here's a quick list of those 12 players. Pat Filun, this is in order they were drafted. Pat Filun, second. Mike Rachi, third overall. Victor Kozlov, sixth overall. Andre Zuzin, second overall. That's kind of a miss. Patrick Marleau, second overall. Awesome. Brad Stewart, third overall. Milan Mihalik, sixth overall. Would have been great had he not busted his knee. Devin Setoguchi, eighth overall. He had his off-ice issues.
Mm-hmm.
Great player. Lone Couture, ninth overall. Timo Meier, ninth overall. William Eklund, seventh overall, turning out to be a fantastic player. Mm-hmm. William Smith, fourth overall. The Sharks are going to have at least one player in the top 10.
Yeah.
This draft. Possibly two.
Yeah.
Depending on if Pittsburgh wants to keep that draft pick or not. And next season, hopefully, that would be another two if Pittsburgh decided to give us their pick next year and they're worse and they're still in the top 10 and we'd still have our pick. And I'm assuming the Sharks are not going to be doing better than not a top 10 pick.
There might be some people who are very prominent in the hockey world who would expect the Sharks somehow are going to be above the top 10 pick. Like, you know, almost bubble playoff team. And we'll talk about that guy a little bit later on in the show. Not very happy.
Plugging him.
I'm just so not happy with, Anyway, so yes, absolutely. They've had a decent handful. Now, what was your point regarding all these guys here?
So all these guys here, Mike Greer has said he wants to overcook the prospects and not jump them into the NHL. I feel like Doug Wilson, when he was here, would plug those guys in a little bit sooner than they were ready for it, and also a little sooner than they earned it. So they weren't really performing down at the lower levels in the hopes that they would just plug in and play, and you'd have that next prospect plugging in and joining. You know, this is back when they had the likes of Pavelski and Thornton, Marleau, and all those guys. So it was a little easier to plug in a guy one guy, maybe two at the most, rookies into that lineup, which is what good teams do.
Right.
Greer has not done that. In fact, Greer, if you count last year's draft, not the last draft, but the one before, he was hired 2 days before the draft. He's not going to go in to a scouting staff and say, everything you've done for the entire year, everything you've worked towards, and all these guys that you picked are prepped for, we're going to throw that out the window and I'm going to pick who I want. That's not what he's doing.
Right.
He's respecting those guys and trusting those guys to give him the best information possible. Might not have been great information, but he has to. So that draft, yes, it's still on him for picking those players, I guess, technically, but because the buck stops with him. So regardless of those guys, none of those guys in the 2022 draft have played an NHL game. The last draft, which is still very early, it's not even been a year, obviously none of those guys. The 21 draft, the year before he was even here, when William Eklund was drafted, William Eklund is the only player that has played any NHL games from that draft. So that's 3 draft classes with one player playing in the NHL. You would think there would, you know, on other teams, I feel like there would probably be 1 or 2 more guys getting some action in the NHL level. Maybe, maybe not. Go back another draft, 2020 draft. Thomas Bortolo is the only one that's had real meaningful time here on the Sharks team. Gushin, I think, has looked great, but not well-rounded enough. Kind of like how Bortolo wasn't well-rounded enough to stick. I think that's Gushin's problem, and he's smaller. He's a smaller guy. Mm-hmm. So I think Gushin could push to play next season. I think he might make the team if he can get his other parts of his game, not the offensive part, rounded out so that he can be trusted by the coaching staff. Bortolo has shined. We just talked about that maybe, what, half an hour ago on the show? He's putting everything together and not focusing on the offense, but focusing on playing everything. A well-rounded game, a 200-foot game, and the offense will come, and it has been coming. Yeah. So I think Bortolo is going to be a mainstay. I think he's going to play out the rest of the season on the Sharks. I think he's going to crack the lineup next season and possibly be one of those guys that's going to get a full 82 games in. Maybe not. He might be bouncing between, depending on how he does. But again, my point, there's not a lot of guys here going back into that draft history. Even the 2019 draft, we have Hataka, who played 21 games, and Knyazhov, who played 1. That's it from that entire 19 draft class. 2018 is a little bit better, but that's Merkley. Linus Karlsson had 4 games. Jasper Weatherby, 50. And John Leonard had 70, the most, and he was a 6th-round pick. So not a good... A lot of misses on these drafts from the old regime, but Greer really kind of holding out on a lot of these guys. They have to earn their way up to the NHL level. Nothing is given to them. So even as the Sharks are dead last place of the NHL, you're still not earning a spot on this. You're not given a spot on this roster. You still have to earn it. That's my whole point about all this.
I 100% agree with Greer's philosophy now of you have to earn your spot, and he is absolutely doing that. I think where maybe we differ, and I'm not even sure if we differ necessarily, but so a lot of the guys that you named off, yeah, they were absolutely from the old regime. Greer has no ties to any of these guys. They're in the system, but he doesn't have any allegiance to, you know, I like this player, I'm going to give him a shot. Any of these guys that are in the system from before he drafted, you absolutely, you're going to have to earn it, because I have no tie, emotional tie, to the fact that, you know, I picked you because I never did. Right. So, and even the draft with was it with the Weisblatt, or the draft after Weisblatt, mm-hmm. that he came in, right? So the Philip Bystedt, right?
No, the draft after Weisblatt was Eklund.
Eklund, right? Yeah. Okay, so he picked Bystedt. Eklund was not his.
Bystedt was the first one where he was hired 2 days before.
Yeah. See, even that one. Yeah.
But he traded down. Remember that?
Right.
They had the 11th overall pick, yes. And they said, "I'm going to trade down and get Bystedt and get a." They get the second round, the other second round pick for trading down, something like that.
So I'm honestly, for me, I don't even look at the draft with Bystedt in it. I don't even look at that one as Mike Greer's. I understand the buck stops with him, but there is so much that goes into scouting.
Oh, absolutely.
From a day after you're done doing the draft, you start scouting for the next season.
Yeah.
And even before that, you start scouting for the season's future, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking at guys that are, you know, a couple years out, still going, okay, I'm going to keep my eye on this kid, right?
Let's not forget, Greer just fired the scout in Russia last week. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he fired the scout and publicly said, I'm firing this guy because he was not doing his job and going to the games. He was already on thin ice, quote unquote. Like, yeah. He was already been warned and was not doing his job, so we're firing him. And we look forward to finding a new scout that will do what he says is doing. It's like, oh, wow. It was pretty scathing. It's like, and to be public like that, too, it's like, wow, that guy must have been, he must have really pissed off a lot of people and been doing absolutely nothing.
That's incredible that he went public. I mean, something like a scout, like not most fans are going to be like, oh, our Russian scout, I like that guy.
The you one know? Russian scout that they had. Because their other scout that they have that kind of is doing the KHL lives in Ukraine, so he can't go into Russia and watch the players.
Well, so I guess for me, like when you say overcook, that's where I'm going, okay, I don't think that Greer has overcooked anybody so far. I think those guys simply have not earned the opportunity. Like you look back at Detroit and you go, okay, they were a team that overcooked their prospects. They would have a guy who was ripe and ready to play in the NHL and could contribute in the NHL, and they still left him in the AHL because their NHL team was fine, right? They didn't have to bring him up or anything. They just left him there, and he just would outscore everybody, and it didn't matter. We're just going to leave him there. That's overcooking, 100%. I feel like what Doug Wilson and that whole era, I feel like what he had to do was plug holes. We just have holes in our lineup. We have no, what are we going to do? We have to grab this guy. He didn't earn the spot, but we have a hole. We can't play with just, you know,
also
10 forwards.
Cap, salary cap.
That too.
Up against the cap.
When you've got a bunch of guys, you're paying $7, $8, and $10 or $11.5 million. Yeah, you can only fit so many guys on the roster who are going to get paid just that amount. So I think that was a very different situation, obviously. Now with Greer, again, for me, I don't think it's, he's holding Gushin out because he wants him to be the superstar in the AHL first. Prove it to me for two seasons where you're at the top of the points, and then fine, we'll bring you in. I don't think he's trying to overcook. I think those guys just can't hack it at the NHL level, and I think Greer knows that. And there's a lot of guys that are actually on this roster who are very young, and maybe they shouldn't be on an NHL roster, but on this roster, they're able to contribute, and I don't think that the guys that are currently in the AHL really would push them out of that position. Right. The only one that I said, and I put this on Twitter too, the only one that I said probably deserves a go is Mook Medulin over Henry Thrun. Because Thrun has made a few bad passes here and there, and even I'm saying, okay, you know, maybe he just needs to go back to the AHL.
What?
He's not bad. Maybe he just needs to go get some confidence back. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
How
just
dare you?
The Grand Admiral needs to go back to military school.
I am shocked.
So I'd like to see him maybe, you know, go back to the AHL, regain some confidence, learn his own game again, right? And then come back with that level of confidence. And who do you plug the hole with?
But it's also a reason why these guys are kind of being shielded in a way, too, and not being pulled up to the NHL level because they're going to form bad habits.
Sure.
They're not going to get meaningful minutes. Possibly. Like, Mook Medulin's going to be the man at the Barracuda. Same with Thrun when he's down there. He's one of those top guys. Yep. So they kind of need that. But I understand what you're saying. But I still, like, if you look at Anaheim, Columbus, who's the other one I just had? Arizona's another one. They're putting their young guys in early because they really just don't have anyone. Kind of like the Sharks, they don't have anyone. Yeah, they're good players and they're up and coming. But they're kind of learning trial by fire. If you look at their games played, it's... they're a lot higher, but they're not much higher in the standings. So,
but how are those players doing points-wise? Are those players doing? Are they contributing? Because that's what I'm talking about. If those players are contributing, then fine, you put them in there. If they're a player that would not normally contribute, then why plug the hole with a player that's not going to contribute? And I think that's what Greer's doing. Would you say that Greer is overcooking Mook Medulin? I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that he is. I don't think Mook Medulin is necessarily ready to be a steady NHL player. Could he have a shot at some action, a cup of coffee, as you've called it? Absolutely, 100%. But I don't think that he's overcooking him in the AHL, keeping him deliberately out of the NHL, even though he could contribute there. That would be my point. So I think really the contention is just over the word overcooking, and I don't know that Greer's doing that with this crop of players. Would he do it in the future? 100%, I agree with him. He says he would. I believe him. I just don't know that we've got anybody in the system yet that he's overcooking. Now, if Will Smith comes in next season, and he's an AHLer for 3 years, and he's at the top of the league, Now you've got me agreeing with you on overcooking. But right now, I just don't think anybody fits that description.
I'm the beat plug. What's pretty funny is Greer is copying the Boston Bruins system in the way that they overcook their players.
Have you not been listening? I'm sorry, I can't take your Avatar seriously.
Is that what that is?
Huh?
Is that Austin Matthews?
That's Austin Matthews. It's what that is.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well done. Man. That's chubby.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of cheek.
Yeah, it happens.
Couple pies under that chin there. Okay. Anyway, I don't know if there's anything else you want to say about this one.
No.
You good?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go on your rant.
Okay. Pierre Maguire.
Who?
Kind of looks like Aaron, actually, with the bald head. You just don't have glasses. Ouch. And he's... he can't grow a beard, though, apparently. So
I really do not like Pierre Maguire.
Yeah, so Aaron's not a huge fan. And Aaron apparently has historically not been a huge fan. Yeah. So I don't feel bad finding out that I'm not a fan of Pierre Maguire. So again, we heard this from, or I heard this, I don't know if you listened to it or not, mm-hmm. but I heard this from Sheng Peng and San Jose Hockey Now, or SJ Hockey Now, who's awesome. Take a look at them. But they called out that this, the eye test, I think is what it's called, podcast. Again, I don't listen to anybody's podcast with the Sharks. I'm sorry if you're a Sharks podcast. I don't listen. I'm sorry. But that's just how it is. So I listened to these guys because Sheng was like, oh, they said this. I'm like, they couldn't have. What do they mean by that? So I listened to it, and I'm just going to read this off here, is that what they said on the podcast about the Sharks, anybody that says they're believing in the rebuild in San Jose, their nose is growing by the second. I'm just saying it right now, and I'm going to turn this way. I believe in the rebuild in San Jose, and it's not moving. So I believe in the rebuild in San Jose.
That's a big nose.
I 100%, thank you. It's Italian. But it's... so I believe... In the rebuild in San Jose. I really do. And I'm not lying about that. I know we have this podcast. I know that we cater to Sharks fans.
Slightly biased.
Okay, but I'm sitting here saying I'm happy to take losses, guys, okay? There's not... I believe in the rebuild, all right? And he says... He goes on to say, you cannot tell me the rebuild in San Jose is being done properly. And I'm trying to understand... how it's not being done properly. Mike Greer has been at the helm for years in terms of the draft, right? We just talked about this. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what he was expecting. And were you expecting a full turnaround in two seasons? This to me, again, this is an unknowledgeable fan who watches basketball and goes, well, what if they just, you know, drafted a LeBron James type player and then they're a better team? It doesn't work that way. And you would think that a guy like Pierre Maguire, I almost said LeBron. LeBron's awesome. He's awesome. Maguire, I don't know. You would think that a guy like Pierre Maguire would understand that. And I'm sure he does. I'm not saying he doesn't get it. He must, because this is what he does for a living. But what I don't get is, what were you expecting? In two seasons, what did you want? What do you want? We're in a rebuild. You take your good players, you trade them away, not because you think you're going to be better without them, but because you think you're going to be better in the future. You know, building towards the future. That's why it's called a rebuild. I don't get what this guy is thinking when he says it's not being done properly. He even admits that Greer inherited this bad situation. So what, I mean, what were you, he's undoing the bad situation. Do you think that's going to happen over the course of a couple of months?
The only thing I don't want to defend him here is,
oh boy,
if you take the whole history of the last time they made the playoffs to now.
Yes.
That's what, a 5-year period, 6-year period now? Sure. So that whole period, yes, they did not do the rebuild correctly. Once Greer has gotten here, they absolutely have. I think he's done a fantastic job, which is the last, not even 2 years yet.
But Doug Wilson wasn't trying to rebuild.
I know.
Doug Wilson was trying to hold on to the glory days.
He was trying to keep the window open.
You don't sign Erik Karlsson to an 11.58-year.
Well, they did that and then missed the playoffs.
Yeah. But my point is...
They went to the conference finals the year before he signed that.
They
missed the season before.
They missed the playoffs not because they were trying to rebuild. They missed the playoffs because they were holding on to the past. So to say that the rebuild isn't going the way that they want it to in San Jose, the rebuild's only started when Greer got here. Mm-hmm. All the entire time Doug Wilson was here, we were never talking about rebuilding. We were talking about plugging holes and trying to hold on to those glory days. We can still have one more cup run. No, we can't.
I don't say holding on to glory days. They're leaving the window open as long as they could. And trading away all the assets that they could to keep that window open and have those players come in that they could keep going. To get a cup. Hopefully get a cup.
My point is they weren't shipping everybody out.
No.
They were bringing guys in.
Right. I get it. Well, they were shipping out prospects and picks.
Yes.
Which is part of the problem.
Exactly.
Long-term wise.
So that is not part of the rebuild.
Right.
That is part of the we're trying to hold on. They're on the edge of the cliff and their fingers are going like that. And you're holding on by a pinky. That's it. And then finally Greer comes in and just hacks the pinky off and says, we're doing it. And I mean, so for the two seasons, 1.5, whatever you want to call it, seasons that Greer has been at the helm and has had a chance to draft and unload contracts and make these trades and get the veterans out and bring the prospects and the picks and the futures in, I don't know what he was expecting.
I don't
get it.
Just listening to what he was saying, too, it's like... He was saying that the Sharks aren't going to be competitive next season. I wasn't expecting them to be.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting them to jump from dead last this year to a playoff spot next season. That would be a hell of a jump going from, 40 points in the standings to 98 plus?
Yeah.
More than doubling what they're doing? That wasn't the expectation, and that's not part of the rebuild. The rebuild's going to take another two seasons. It also depends on... if they get Celebrini,
yeah.
If some other draft picks pan out and become stars, like Musty, I'm hoping, or Will Smith. So those guys are obviously going to be pieces. But also on top of that, they have so much cap space now, moving out a lot of those contracts, that they're going to be able to get some high-end free agents in the next couple years. Who's a free agent next year? The biggest one. Steven Stamkos.
Don't go there, man.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I'm not saying the Sharks are going to get them.
Yeah.
But when they're ready and there's a player like that on the market and they get them, that jumps that team, the Sharks team, from... Sure. I'm not saying next year.
Sure.
And
sure,
I'm not saying it's Stamkos. I'm saying a player like Stamkos is on the market and they're one of the two teams that can afford them.
Yeah.
You have all these young guys coming up and coming. You go from a potential, 60, 70 point team to a, adding that player... we're looking at like a playoff bubble team more.
Yeah.
And also maybe a little bit beyond that.
And you get the leadership qualities there too. And I'm going to bring this up in a little bit here in terms of the guys that they could bring in with these younger guys. But I also just want to keep ranting. he names off several Western Conference teams. Okay. He says, are the Kings going to get better? Yes. Next season. Okay. Are the Ducks going to get better? Yes. Next season. Right. They got Cutter Gauthier coming in now. Are the Kraken, the Nashville Predators? That he just names off all these different teams. Are they getting better? Yes, yes, yes. All of them are going to be getting better next season. And what was funny to me is he deliberately calls out Gauthier, right, Cutter, and saying that that's one of the reasons that the Ducks will be getting better next season. And I'm going, I'm sorry, if Cutter's ready for the show, I think Will Smith is in the same category. Will Smith played with Cutter Gauthier. They just won, and Will Smith was the MVP between everybody else on that team. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Anaheim has more guys ready than the Sharks do at this point. I would say they're 2 years ahead of where the Sharks are.
100%. So I guess what I'm saying is you've got guys that are coming in. Are they going to make you better than the other teams? Maybe not. But that's not the point of the rebuild. The point of the rebuild isn't to be better than the other teams. That's the point of being a contender. That's the point of being in that conversation for playoff contention, for being a Stanley Cup favorite. That's what that's all about. When you're in the rebuild, the point isn't to be better than the other teams. The point is to be better than you are currently in the future, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future. That is the point of the rebuild. You're not giving up all your good players because you think it's going to make you better to be a worse team. You're giving up your good players to have futures so that you will eventually be a good team. So for him to say, that the rebuild isn't going well because they're not going to be better than Anaheim or LA or Nashville or Minnesota or any of these other teams. Yeah, They're not going to be better than them right now, but that's the point of the rebuild. You have to get to that point. You have to, I don't know, build would be the operating word there to get to that point. So for him to say that again, I don't understand what exactly it is that you were expecting to happen here, but they are in this process right now of unloading and getting futures. The futures have to get here. Will Smith's not on the team. Cagnoni's not on the team. Musty's not on the team. McMadulin's in the AHL. He's not ready, and they're not going to put him up unless they think he is ready. Eklund's the only guy, other than maybe Bortolo, but Eklund's the only guy that's like rebuild, a guy that you want in your rebuild, yeah, who's ready to go. He's the only guy.
On the beat plug earlier said shout out to Ethan Cardwell as well, putting up good numbers in the Barracuda. Another defenseman, right? Or is he a forward?
Cardwell? I think he's a forward. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Take a look. But anyway, so again,
forward.
He's the forward. Yeah. So I'm not getting it. I don't understand what he's expecting. I don't know what he wants. But the other thing that he said, and I'll leave this alone, is that they need to bring in guys that can protect the young guys, not just physically, but mentally. And again, the only guy that's part of this truly a part of this rebuild in terms of the skill level and everything else, is Eklund. Everybody else is expendable. And I love Granlund. Mm-hmm. He's expendable. He's a guy that can get traded. You said, make him the captain and then trade him,
right?
Which I wouldn't agree with. You don't make a guy captain just and then you trade him in the same season. I don't get that. But I don't think that Granlund is part of the rebuild.
No.
Not necessarily, okay? There's a lot of guys on this team that I don't think are part of the rebuild. To me, Eklund is that guy, okay? So in terms of bringing guys in to protect the young guys, you're only really worried about protecting the one guy. I think we're okay. I think there are enough guys on this team that can step up. And even Eklund doesn't take anybody's junk.
Protect Smith and Celebrini?
Protect all those guys, buddy. Yeah, so we're not there yet where we need older veterans, bruisers, big guy to help protect the young. We're not there yet. Maybe next season, if all those guys we already talked about jump on the team, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to go test the free agent market and get some guys that can go and stand up for his teammates.
Well, we're also looking at the floor now and not the ceiling of the salary cap, so he's going to have to sign some players to some contracts
here. Absolutely.
There's some comments in here about are the Sharks going to be worse. So let's do this with the roll call question.
Okay.
Where are you watching from? What city are you watching from? And do you think this is rock bottom for the Sharks? Do you think it's only going to get better at this point? This season is the worst season that they're going to have in probably a long time because the new core is coming up. And they're already starting the core and now they're coming up to the system. Most likely next season can't get worse than this season. Do you think this is rock bottom?
Yeah, I don't think it, so we're going to say like the next like 5 years or so, because obviously like 25 years down the road, yeah, we're probably going to go through another rebuild.
Well, that's different. That's the next generation.
Exactly. So the next era, if you will, mm-hmm. right? The Will Smith era of hockey. I think absolutely the next however 5 years or so, this has got to be rock bottom for the Sharks. I think some of these guys, even though they're young and coming straight out of, you know, NC2A or juniors, even though they're coming straight out of it, this is high-level talent. We haven't seen this many Shark prospects, I should say, leading their leagues in respective categories, especially with points, and dominating like this. We have not seen Sharks prospects doing this well in their junior and college collegiate seasons. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be a really big turning point next season with these guys potentially joining the team. If these guys join the team next season, I know they're young, I know they're inexperienced, but I'm telling you, the amount of talent that these guys have, I would not at all be shocked to see that we do much better. Not necessarily playoff bubble, but much better next season with these guys joining the fold.
You think they get to 68 points next season?
Yeah. I absolutely love Paul's rant there. I don't know what McGuire expects when our team is rebuilding. It doesn't happen overnight. Absolutely. I'm not getting it. You know what's funny? We talked about Sturm and future plans last episode. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of having these guys that are going to protect the young guys and be there for them, not just physically but also mentally, I think Sturm is one of those guys. And I look at that quote, future plans –
Right.
And I can't help but think there's more to it. I know you don't think that there is.
For Sturm.
I know you don't think that there is, and you might be right. But I can't get that out of my head. I just feel like he's going to be there for these young guys for at least the first few years.
I don't think they would sign him to a long-term contract.
Well, like he signed three.
But he signed a three-year contract originally. Yeah. Three or four. I can't remember. I think it was three.
Okay.
I don't think he signs another three-year. I think it's a one or a two-year at most.
I'm hoping it's a three-year contract. And maybe I'm out of my mind. I don't know. But I'm hoping it's a three-year contract. I think that's a good time. Amount of time for him
at that point,
to help mentor those
guys.
He'll
be 30 when his contract is up.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think 2 years, and that's what they're going to give him.
What's wrong with 30? Everybody is down on 30 years old, man.
It's more to do with the pipeline of coming in of centers that would take over his position. And you don't
they all
want
have to
him,
pan out.
But you don't want him around and scratching him because someone's playing better than him at that point when he's 30. If he had a four-year contract and he's 33 or 34 and there's someone that's playing better than him and you're scratching him, that's not good.
I'm not scratching him. I'm putting the center at wing. That's what I'm doing.
I'm just saying, like, the depth chart is changing big time in those years.
I hear you. Okay. But I guess in terms of guys that are going to be there for them, if these guys join next season, you've got Ferraro, who's still a younger guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's in a leadership role. He's the hard worker on the team. Sturm, same thing. For however long his tenure is on the team, he's that hard worker. He's that guy that is really going to be good in the locker room. And I think that Mike Greer doesn't downplay that at all. I think the locker room chemistry and culture is such a big part of what Greer is trying to build here. And for him to have those guys in that locker room with the young guys is going to be fantastic for them and their growth and really help foster that winning culture, hopefully to come in San Jose, but I don't know. But then, I mean, other guys like Granlund, for instance, you know, again, you call them the de facto captain already as it is. Pickles, say what you want about Pickles. The guy's been in the league for a very long time, has a wealth of knowledge, and he's a defenseman.
It's a big discussion about him in this chat today.
Okay, sure. But he's a defenseman, and we've got a lot of young defenders coming in, and I'm sure he'd be more than helpful. What are you laughing about?
Just a comment. Right.
It'd be more than helpful getting those guys to feel comfortable in their position and be able to answer any of the questions that they have for the game of hockey, the game of life. So what is it that you're chuckling about?
Ben and Gunsry is in Thailand. Really hope this is rock bottom. Don't challenge our Fin Factor crew to make it much harder than it is. Keep things interesting. Thank you. I love that. And David B. in Melbourne, Australia.
Ooh.
We'll still be around the bottom of the standings, but adding high-end prospects is good for the team. Man, all over the world today.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I don't think they're going to be... I don't think next season the Sharks will be a top three pick. I'll say that.
Okay.
Without seeing... It's hard to say now because I want to see what they do in free agency if they pick up anybody that's worth anything. Not Mike Hoffman or someone like his caliber, but someone a little bit higher end. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If they get something like... What if they got Tarasenko? Because he did come to San Jose this last summer... as a free agent and toured around and talked to Greer and then ended up signing in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we got Tarasenko for a 1 or 2 year deal?
Sure.
That guy can still score some goals. That would change my mind as to, depending on what they do.
Get him on a 1 year deal. We failed to be a bubble team and we flip him for a future.
Well, that's exactly what you did in Ottawa.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but my point is I don't want to say that for sure they won't be a top three pick. I want to see what happens this summer, but... Okay. I think this is rock bottom. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they are.
I'm going to agree with you. I think this is rock bottom, and I think that even with a bunch of young guys coming in who may or may not make the team, I'm not sure, but if a lot of those guys push for positions on this team and they're able to actually earn the spot, I think absolutely we're going to be a better team than we are currently. Probably not, again, playoff bubble team, but better than we are now. So I'm going to end this whole Pierre thing with, even though that it is disappointing that he seems to be struggling with the very basic concept of to get worse now, in order to get better, later. I'm going to go ahead and just repeat, the name of their podcast, and that is the Eye Test. So if you would like to listen to that podcast, fire away. Again, I don't listen to anybody, but I'm just letting you guys know that's where we heard that from. And there you go. So I'm not going to I'm not gonna slam and then not let you know where that came from. I'm gonna plug them anyway. So see, I'm a nice guy. That's what I do.
So nice.
So nice. That's what I do. So there you go. Okay. Now that we're done with that, I guess the last thing to go over is the upcoming games.
Peter St. John wants to know if I'm gonna be saying there's a market correction. Yes, there will be a market correction with the Sharks next season. Upcoming games. Tuesday against the Dallas Stars is tomorrow night. That's a home game against Dallas. Are you going to be going to any of these games?
I don't think I'll be able to go to any of these games, unfortunately, because two of them are in our way. Right. One's in Minnesota and one's in St. Louis, so I probably can't make those. But the Dallas game at home in San Jose, I don't think I'll be able to do that one either. That is a Tuesday. That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
No. I'm going to say no. I can't.
I don't think I can.
I'm going to have to watch it on the tube.
Yep.
So.
Same. All right. Then Thursday's at Minnesota and Saturday is in St. Louis. Both of those games are at 5 p.m. Are you expecting anything on this road trip or any of this week, anything?
I am. I'm expecting something. Three losses, maybe.
Further down?
That's what I'm hoping. You have no idea, Aaron. You have no idea. Look. I'm happy with good hockey. Even if good hockey lasts 20 minutes and then they fall off a cliff. Okay, I just want to watch Eklund doing a spinorama. I just want to watch... was it Klim Kostin getting a goal, you know, here or there, freight training somebody. I just want to see, you know, Henry Thrun not making a bad pass through the neutral zone just now and then. That's really all I'm looking for. Just a few good connections here and there between Sharks players, some exciting hockey. And if they get scored on, they get scored on. That's what it is. Okay. But that's kind of where I'm at for the rest of the season. I don't think that I would like to see the Sharks do any better than the Blackhawks for the rest of the season. I like where we are. There's no point in being any better than where we are. And as crazy as it is to have rooted for losses for the past, I don't know how many seasons in a row now, that's what we're doing this season too.
It's going to be an interesting week because, or at least games, because St. Louis and Minnesota are fighting for that last wild card spot against the Vegas Knights. So I kind of want these guys to win so that Vegas can get bounced because right now Vegas is the last wild card spot at 83 points in the standings.
By the way, Vegas put Hurdle on long-term IR.
Does that change the...
So that they can pull him if they make playoffs, they can pull him out of the LTIR.
That doesn't change anything cap space. Oh, I don't know. It's just that's a for certain amount of times that you have to be out. Yeah, the Golden Knights could possibly miss the playoffs, which I am 100% rooting for. Absolutely. So I didn't look at that too closely, but
okay.
I mean, St. Louis is only they got a game. Vegas is a game in hand, but they're 4 points ahead of St. Louis right now.
Okay.
So it'll be close. It's going to come down to the wire. And well, these games are going to help.
I'll certainly be rooting for the Sharks. Like I like again, I'll be rooting for good plays.
Right.
I'll be rooting. That's what I'll be rooting for. Good hockey. I will not be rooting for a win. And I hope that the Vegas Golden Knights get overtaken. And
right.
If we can influence that in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we will, because the good news is Vegas isn't playing San Jose anymore for the rest of the season, so they don't get any more easy points.
No easy wins.
Yeah. So, yeah, St. Louis and Minnesota, let's go.
Okay. All right. Well, I you know, and I hope y'all don't think that we're like traitors or something like that. Like, again, we want them to be bad now so that we can be good later. Trust me,
right.
When we've got these guys on the roster, the last thing I'm going to be hoping for is losses, right? The last thing I want is the Sharks to lose when I feel like we've got some winners on this team.
Good question here by Nick W. Does the coaching staff stay or go after this season?
No. Okay, so I don't put anything on David Quinn.
No.
Okay, he's probably a very good coach. Okay, and I'm sure that he's doing everything he can with what he's been given. But does he go? I'm probably going to go with yes. Once
starting next season.
Not next season. Well.
Do you start next season with a new coach?
Oh.
That's the question.
I'm going to say this. He doesn't have more than a season as head coach.
I think they keep him for next season, and they either get rid of him towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Some point during the season. I don't think he comes back after next year.
In the same way that when a new GM comes in, he usually picks a new coach, I think with the roster that you're going to have, you find a coach that is right for that budding new right. set of players.
He also only has one more year left on his contract.
Sure. I think they play out his year.
I think they don't.
Really?
I think they say, have a nice vacation. Okay. Take a break. We're going to let you go right after the trade deadline so you get a couple of months off to recoup and find a new team, because at least you'll be on the market first.
Yep.
So when teams fire their coaches, you're going to be one of the first ones to get called. They're going to do right by him.
Do him a solid, yeah. So I like that.
That's my theory here.
Okay. I think we're in agreement, though, that he's not going to go past his contract.
He won't get renewed.
He will not. Yeah, he will not go past his contract. No. He'll either finish off his contract, finish his contract a little early, or they won't start with him next season. And none of this, by the way, has anything to do with David Quinn being a good coach or not a good coach.
He's a good coach.
Everything to do with the new set of guys that are coming in and having a coach to coach those guys.
And a new voice for some of the guys that are still there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm agreeing with you 100% on that one. I think that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So.
Quinn and Greer buds, though, said Peter St. John. Exactly why he's going to do him a solid and say,
"Yeah,
have a nice vacation. You've earned it, because this has been awful the last three seasons."
You had to have known when you were getting pulled into this situation that you were going to be coaching a pretty bad team.
Absolutely.
So I think he was one of those stopgap coaches, right? We know we're not going to be good. We need somebody to be the coach.
He doesn't seem like a coach that is stressing out. Not that he doesn't stress, but playing for his job, kind of, or coaching for his job. I feel like he knows, I knew the situation I was coming into, and I knew kind of roughly the exit plan in a way. Yeah. So, yeah.
We just stunk.
Chunky Matthews guy, whoever that was on there, says he likes Quinn more than DeBoer and Bugner. He gets fired up more than the players. I want to reiterate, I don't have a problem with Coach Quinn whatsoever. I like him. I think he's good. I just don't think that they're going to keep him around as part of the, we'll call it the next stage of the rebuild. We're in the stage right now where we're unloading and getting futures. The next stage of this is turning those futures into tangible players and them being able to make contributions to the team.
I think there's also an assistant coach that's on the staff. I don't know who, but that's like kind of an up-and-coming possible takeover of probably interim coach. They'll probably let him go and then let that guy take over. Get his feet wet and then see if they like him or bring in someone else.
Yeah. So, I don't think he's going to go beyond beyond next season, at least. So, if not this season, as Aaron's projecting.
Seriously, he's going to let go halfway through the season just to take some time. And he still gets paid, so it's not like he's getting fired and he's done. So, he'll still get his money. Not a big deal.
That makes sense. Like you said, with them being friends and everything, if he's just doing them a solid.
We know Hassel Plattner loves paying people that aren't on the team anymore.
I think is willing to. I don't know about loves. No, I don't know about loves, but
he does not love it.
Okay. Are we all wrapped up then?
Yeah.
Because we've only gone for like an hour and almost a half. And we got like another half hour to go. Do you guys want to?
People complained last week that it was too short. It was only an hour.
I really want to try to do a show in like 20 minutes.
We could.
Fast as we just
a
rip non-live
live show. We used to do them like 20, 30 minutes.
Those are no 40. Fun. Those are no fun at all. I'd rather be here with all these fine folks in the chat who are giving us nice comments.
I still think it'd be fun to do a live show in front of people where we have an audience of people. Not here. We wouldn't be able to do it here.
But yeah.
Go somewhere else.
It looks big. It's definitely not.
How about we throw this out there? If you have a venue or a space that you think we could use, all we would need if we were doing a live is power and
Ethernet.
Not Wi-Fi, but Ethernet. We need to be plugged in. So if you got a good space or know of anyone that would be willing to let us do it, and of course we have no money to pay for it, but if we can use the space, we would be very grateful. So let us know. Hit us up either in the comments or you can send us an email or a message or carrier pigeon, however you get your information out.
Free 99.
Of course we have no money. Thanks, Aaron. Fantastic.
I'm telling you, we have no money.
Watch this segue. However, you can help us with that by supporting the show
Fantastic, right? There you go. By supporting the show through the Super Chat function or using Venmo at The Fin Factor. Either way, you put a comment in there. We'll read it out live on the show. You can also go to thefinfactor.com. Check out any of the merchandise that we have there for sale. Shirts, hats, water bottles, nose plugs, ear rings.
You're just ridiculous.
I'm going to come up with more good stuff.
Dude wipes.
What? There you go. Okay. Only some of those things are actually available in the store, so please go check it out and see which ones you can buy. To support the show, of course, so that we could pay for the venue that we can't pay for. Whatever Aaron was talking about earlier. Yeah, if you guys like the show, please do hit the thumbs up button. It does help the algorithm and let all the other Sharks fans know that we are here. And of course, if you can share that out to them, that's the best way that they would know that we are here. And of course, if you've not hit the subscribe button, it doesn't make sense. Please hit the button already. Just do it. There's a little bell thing there too. Hit that as if you don't know you use YouTube. And then obviously you'll know when we're going live. Oh, blindfolds. Oh yeah, blindfolds. We have Fin Factor blindfolds.
So we don't have to watch the Sharks get blindfolded.
That is such a great idea. I'm taking it.
Earplugs and blindfolds.
There you go.
Don't hear it either.
Get nose plugs so you can't smell it either. I don't even know how that would happen.
Should they say tank for Celebrini on the blindfolds?
Tank for... Uh-huh. No. It's Slackin' for Macklin. Sip a martini for Celebrini.
Oh, God. I haven't heard that one. That's bad.
That's good.
That's bad.
All right, well,
that's too long.
Huh?
It doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
Okay, martini for Celebrini. Or Celebrini martini.
Paul for head coach.
Paul for head coach. I like that one, too. It's good. Can't do much worse. I mean, really.
That's true.
I mean, it has nothing to do with Coach Quinn.
I'll take that
salary. We just can't get much worse.
Hang out with the boys on the bench.
Coach for a day, and then they lay you off.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take that.
I'll sign that contract every day of the week.
In any case, I guess that brings us to the end of the show. So, Aaron, unless you have one last comment, something in there, I don't know.
Real quick, Peter St. John, how many young, talented players will it take to rebuild the core? I will say the Athletic did define this, and they needed, what, two forwards that are blue chip prospects, one defenseman, and then you need kind of that second tier of players that were kind of like how Hurdle and Couture weren't superstar players, but they were all-star players, so you need a couple of those. So as for core, I'd say six guys spread between the defenseman and the forwards to be your core.
The reason I say four, and even Hannon had said this, I think it was Hannon, you got to build down the center,
mm-hmm.
and then defense and a goalie. And so the wings are kind of like I think this is why you could take centermen and put them on the wing, right? Is you get good centermen, you fill that position out, and then everything else kind of falls from there. The best players in the NHL generally, most of them have been centers,
yeah.
Right? There's exceptions, like Ovechkin's a winger. But
that's goal scoring. Guys sure. are usually the wingers.
Sure, yeah.
The centermen are doing the dirty work.
Yeah. So, but I think that's why I say that. And I think having a first and second line stupendous centers is really what's going to solidify your offense, right? The third line scoring, sometimes that's third line checking, right? You know, so that you can kind of get away with.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a solid top six, and that starts with your centermen. Having one solid defenseman at least, and in some cases two where it just doesn't work, like we've seen in San Jose, like they're finding out in Pittsburgh. But having one solid defenseman who's a guy that you can rely on,
mm-hmm.
Offensively at least, and then filling in the gaps with a lot of good defensive prospects. But those three in terms of players, two good centers and a solid defenseman who can kind of do it all, like a Victor Hedman type, is amazing. Yeah. And then having a solid goaltender. It doesn't have to be a superstar, but somebody that you can trust between the pipes for 60 minutes a night. Having those four is really the main building blocks for me of having a very good, solid team. So I'm going to go with four. Aaron says
look
six.
Look at Colorado. There's MacKinnon.
Yep.
Rantanen.
Yep.
And then you had on the blue line.
Makar.
And there's one other. Landeskog.
Sure.
So that's four.
Sure.
Right? Who's your four?
They had four. I'm not saying they didn't have an. I'm saying.
Well, they won a cup
to be, yeah.
not too long ago, and they had those studs in there.
Right,
That's there you go. They
built off of that. That's and it was unfortunate because you look at the Sharks roster, and we had Hurdle and Couture. That was kind of like your. Well, even before that, when we had Jumbo in there too, right? I mean, we had solid center depth.
Well, yeah, Chris Tierney is a third line center, and he was killing it, right? You
had Thornton and Marlowe playing together sometimes, and they're both centers, so one of them would be on the wing, and they would jump in if they got kicked out, because Thornton got kicked out all the time. Pavelski, Hurdle,
yes,
same thing. And I mean, that's four centers right there, plus then you had Tierney on top of that some other guys. So, yeah, absolutely. Build down the center.
Yeah, and you know, again, on the defensive side, where Dan Boyle was there for a number of years, Marc-Edouard Vlasic, of course, being the mainstay defensively, but in terms of offensive, you had Brent Burns there as well at one point. So, I mean, these are the things that are going to help your team kind of be that steady presence, is having those two centermen that are studs, having a solid defensive presence. And again, one guy that's a good puck-moving, at least, if not a goal-scoring type defenseman, surrounded by a solid defensive cast, defensive defenseman, I mean to say, and then at least one good goaltender. And the Sharks, again, we talked about this last time, we just never really had that really solid goaltender that some of these other teams have managed to find. And I'm hoping that's something that, you know, comes with some time here, but we'll see. But by next season, I'm really hoping, I've got my fingers crossed by next season, first of all, that we're going to be a better team, as we had said previously in the show, that we're going to be a better team than this season, even though it means, you know, we'd be a fifth overall pick instead of a first or a second, whatever. I'm of the mind that we will be better, just maybe not playoff ready, which is okay. And that is also here the point of a rebuild. So anyway, getting better than your previous self and working on you. So that's hockey and that's life. Spitting wisdom here. So some people spit chiclets. I spit wisdom.
Just don't get it on me.
I guess that does it. So I hope you guys had as much fun as I had. I had a little bit to get off my chest there. And again, this is Sharks Therapy, and I appreciate you guys being there for me as much as we are there for you. So on that note, for Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
We will see you guys
next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.